The born-again delight in the Word of God. The born-again cherish the Word of God. They defend the Word of God and will not flinch from one jot or tittle. That's what the born-again do. Some accuse believers, like I just described, of worshiping the Bible, and that allegation is true. There is no other acceptable position when one understands the following verses. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Revelation 19:13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Psalms 138:2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Surrender your life to the living book and achieve instant genius status. Surrender your life to the living book and you will have life and have it more abundantly, even eternally. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ, the living book, and enjoy a holy and satisfying purpose for living that is absolutely out of this world, and that is to be taken literally. Dear visitor, have you been born a second time, this time of the Spirit of God? Have you been born again? Jesus reveals this marvelous secret in John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In just a few moments, I will invite you to follow me in a simple prompt, and if you do, everything will change for you today. Have you tired of the rank foolishness this world offers, of its simple-minded bondages? Today, all of your sin and shame can be washed away by Christ's cleansing blood. Today, all of Satan's bondages in your life can be broken, every single one. Follow me from your heart in this simple prompt, and you will be born again. Here it is. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now for today's subject. God said, 1 Corinthians 15:45, And so it is written, The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. God said, 1 Peter 1, 18 through 20, For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. God said, John 7:14-15. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Man said, I'm the captain of my ship. Who needs God and his old Bible? Wait a second. What did you say, doctor? I have 2 weeks to live. Oh, God, save me, God. Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature 1203 that will once again certify the marvelous, magnificent inerrancy of God's majority text Holy Bible. All of these faith-building features are archived here in text and streaming audio for your edification and to be used as ammunition in the battle for the souls of the lost sons and daughters of Adam. Every Thursday Eve, God willing, they grow by one. Thank you for coming. May God's face shine upon you with light and truth. This is the final feature in the God Said, Man Said series, Asking Why. The features in this series revolve around Romans 16:25 and the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. In this feature, the revelation of the first and last Adam continues. Everything depends on how we relate to these two Adams. In feature one of this God Said, Man Said series, we considered God's mysterious plan of salvation, We look for answers to three serious questions. 1. Why the Christ? 2. Why the cross? 3. Why the blood sacrifice? In feature 2, we investigated why a virgin birth was necessary and why Sister Mary herself was chosen by God. We considered the chromosomal makeup of Jesus Christ, 46 chromosomes inherited by his parents, made of 23 chromosomes, provided by his God-chosen mother, and 23 chromosomes that, rather than coming from an earthly father, were supplied by God, just as God had done for the first Adam. It was fallen man's contaminated chromosomes that opened the door to epigenetics, deadly mutations, and the biblical concept of the sins of the father being passed down generationally. And wow, turns out born again is the magnificent solution for dead men walking. The children of God have the awesome ability through being born again to rewrite bad epigenetic tags. Week 3, we continued the contemplation of the Virgin Mary and the concept of mutations. We delved deeper into the 23 chromosomes that every baby receives from its father. In Jesus' case, the 23 chromosomes from an earthly father were missing, instead supplied by God, which means that these holy chromosomes were free of carnal history. In other words, no deleterious epigenetic tags nor deadly mutations. The following excerpts are from week three's feature. Why? Part 3, Mutations Missing. Experts claim genetic disorders list into the thousands, but some well-known ones include Down syndrome, Klinefelter syndrome, late-onset Alzheimer's disease, arthritis, autism spectrum disorder, cancer, coronary artery disease, diabetes, migraine headaches, spina bifida, isolated congenital heart defects, cystic fibrosis, sickle cell disease, Tay-Sachs disease, end of quote. Jesus Christ was without blemish. He did not inherit the deadly mutations of a fallen father. He was virgin-born. Jesus Christ did, however, inherit 23 chromosomes from his mother Mary, whom, as the angel Gabriel said, was highly favored, blessed among women, and has found favor with God. We can only speculate on the condition of Sister Mary's chromosomes, but we can be confident that they were very possibly, or better said, likely, perfect in their generations. In other words, it's likely Jesus Christ did not inherit deadly mutations from Mary either. This mighty Christ, the Savior of all who will call upon his name, entered this world in a very similar way to the Adam of Genesis. When the genealogy recorded in Luke chapter 3, verse 38, arrives at the world's first man, it reads, Adam, which was the Son of God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. This is a marvelous understanding. But what about us? We have inherited a big bag of trouble from our fallen fathers and mothers, but this knowledge only magnifies the magnificence of what Jesus calls born again. We have not been left without a solution. No, surely not. Instead, we have been given power to become sons and daughters of God. John chapter 1, 10 through 13. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The transformative power of the born-again experience is truly past fully finding out. I don't know all about born-again. I am knowing it. This revelation is an ever-expanding revelation of an infinite nature. Born-again begins with a new father and the beginning of a brand-new me. And it all certainly happens at a very molecular level. The amazing transformative power extends to rewriting epigenetic tags and miraculously addressing issues like mutations. Take heart, child of God, in these glorious, life-empowering verses. Ephesians 2:1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Romans 12:2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5, "But we walk in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." 1 Peter 2, verse 24. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Feature 4 dug deeper into the structure of the first and the last Adam. We stood in awe, considering the unmatchable marvels of the law of sin and death vanquishing, miracle of all miracles, and experience Jesus calls born again. There is no greater miracle man can know, and only the last Adam could make it real. Feature 4 probed the parallels found in these verses, 1 Corinthians 15:21 and 22. "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Romans 5:18 and 19. "Therefore as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." The need for the virgin-born, only-begotten Son of God, who could quicken, make alive, our lost souls that were dead in trespasses and sin, was satisfied. Quicken? Yes. New creatures in Christ? Yes. Born again? Wow. What an understanding. We address Satan's challenge and Satan's defeat and more. And now the final chapter in God Said, Man Said series, asking why. How you and I relate to the two Adams is the entire thing. It's the whole thing. The first Adam was downloaded, the Adam of Genesis, the man microbiology now knows as Y chromosome Adam, the father of every human ever on the earth, opened his eyes for the first time and found himself a fully mature male. Anatomically and chronologically, a biologically mature human male is between 30 and 33 years of age. This first Adam was downloaded by his father with amazing capabilities, and within the first Adam was genius upon genius. He was made in the image and likeness of God with zero deleterious epigenetic tags, zero deadly DNA mutations, zero imperfections of contaminants of any kind. Adam was the definition of perfect. Consider, all of Adam's five senses, sight, hearing, smell, taste, touch, were fully developed. He could eat. There was nobody spoon-feeding Adam baby food. He could walk and run and further and faster than anyone alive today. Adam was potty-trained. He had all of his adult teeth. Adam could understand words and speak them fluently. The first task assigned to Adam by God was to name the animals God had made, Genesis 2:19 and 20. "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him." He named the elephant, the giraffe, the hippopotamus, leviathan, behemoth, fiery flying serpents, the dragon, rabbits, the sparrow, and the butterfly. Adam was extremely articulate, even to the level of communicating with God. He was fully equipped and ready to procreate. Adam was genius upon genius, and it is certainly plausible that he could read and write and was downloaded with impeccable math skills. The Adam of Genesis was downloaded by God with genius upon genius. Could there possibly be a record of such a marvelous beginning? You bet there is. Arguably the most famed historian was one Flavius Josephus, who was born just a few years after Jesus died and was resurrected. Josephus was engaged by the Romans to write the Jewish history, and so wrote the Antiquities of the Jews and the Wars of the Jews. He had possession of all the books in the temple, which contained insights into the backstory that was going on when biblical events were recorded. Josephus had this record concerning Adam's son Seth and the ability to record events for future generations to read. From the Antiquities of the Jews, Josephus writes, "Now this Seth, when he was brought up and came to those years in which he could discern what was good, became a virtuous man, and he was himself of an excellent character, so that he left children behind him who imitated his virtues. All these proved to be of good dispositions. They also inhabited the same country without any misfortunes falling upon them till they died. They also were the inventors of that peculiar sort of wisdom which is concerned with the heavenly bodies and their order, and that their inventions might not be lost before they were sufficiently known upon Adam's prediction that the world was to be destroyed at one time by the force of fire, and at another time by the violence and quantity of water, they made two pillars, the one of brick and the other of stone. They inscribed their discoveries on them both, that in case the pillar of brick should be destroyed by the flood, the pillar of stone might remain and exhibit those discoveries to mankind, and also inform them that there was another pillar of brick erected by them. Now this remains in the land of Syriad to this day." End of quote. How about something a little more current regarding the genius of God's first man? The following excerpts are from the God Said, Man Said feature. "Meditation rebuilds gray matter in 8 weeks. My soul is continually in my hand." The world's science was shocked. Sprinkled around the globe, science discovered individuals who had experienced some type of traumatic event, after which these individuals then displayed savant-like skills. A savant typically demonstrates extraordinary abilities in a single skill, such as art, mathematics, architecture, or music. Despite these abilities, a savant is typically socially incapable of functioning in the human community in most other ways. But now, a small group of people, after experiencing a traumatic event, an accident or blow to the head, for example, demonstrated savant-like skills but still maintain all of their original and normal life abilities. This discovery was most distressing to the camp of the evolutionists because their refrain of time and chance couldn't produce these latent outer-worldly skills. These particular humans, or possibly all humans, have these latent savant-like powers already on board. Do we dare to say even downloaded into us by God? When the researchers were asked how one might unlock the inner savant without undergoing a traumatic event, the answer was to meditate. Several paragraphs from the God Said, Man Said feature, "Unlock and Develop God's Brain Power," will set the stage for the latest research. Did Adam inherit from God phenomenal capabilities, and is today's science beginning to discover this truth? Psychiatrist Darrell A. Trefford began researching the savant phenomenon in 1962. He authored a feature in Scientific American that was discussed in the God Said, Man Said feature, "The Critics and Adam's Penmanship." A few paragraphs from that feature follow. The August 2014 issue of Scientific American published a 6-page feature titled "Accidental Genius." In the article, research addressed the concept of acquired savantism through an accidental blow to the head or a traumatic experience of some kind, people have been known to emerge from that experience with unearthly and unlearned savant-like skills in music, math, or other subjects and still retain normalcy. Following are a few excerpts from that feature. Discovery of this unusual phenomenon raises the possibility that dormant potential in some artistic or intellectual realm, an inner savant, resides in each of us. If so, perhaps the way can be found to tap these buried abilities in the absence of disease or injury. One plausible explanation for the hidden talents that emerge in savant syndrome, whether early in life or induced by injury, is that these reservoirs of skill and knowledge must be inherited in some way. We do not start life with a blank slate that subsequently gets inscribed through education and other life experience. The brain may come loaded with a set of innate predispositions for processing what it sees or for understanding the rules of music, art, or mathematics. Savants can tap into that inherited knowledge far better than the average person can, end of quote. Finally, Trefford writes, a technological solution may not be an absolute prerequisite, however. Meditation or a simple adherence to assiduous practice of an artistic skill may suffice to allow us to switch on the more creative right side of the brain and thus explore undiscovered artistic capabilities. Acquired savantism provides strong evidence that a deep well of brain potential resides within us all. The challenge now is to find the best ways to tap into our inner savant, that little bit of Rain Man, while keeping the rest of our mental faculties intact, end of quote. Mr. Trefford suggests meditation as a way to open the inner savant, and nobody meditates like the born again. As a believer meditates upon the Word of God and practices the principles he discovers, he will find that wisdom will begin to multiply. A host of verses declare this scientific truth, end of quote. The first Adam was not a brutish, grunting caveman. Concerning mutations and the human brain, you'll find the following excerpts in the God Said, Man Said feature. Adam and Eve, Mutations and Devolution. Now consider this headline from May 2013 issue of Acts and Facts. Is mankind getting dumber? Several paragraphs written by science writer Brian Thomas follow. Do today's children have lower IQs than yesterday's? Yes, according to measurements of intellectual and emotional strength gathered from different countries and contexts. The results show the same basic decline and resist the notion that public or other forms of education are to blame. Could the cause instead lie within? Stanford University professor Gerald Crabtree thinks so. He published a pair of essays in the journal Trends in Genetics, citing new discoveries that show why the human intellect is surprisingly fragile. This biblical creation-friendly notion didn't sit well with the authors of a rebuttal paper, who countered that the human intellect is robust. What lies at the heart of this disagreement? Bad science or bad assumptions? Crabtree identified two fundamental processes as the main culprits. First, human intelligence uses neurons, and these cells can only function properly if their genes stay in top shape. Second, these genes are susceptible to degradation. This loss of organization occurs continually as mutations slowly, irreversibly garble genes, and the resulting errors pile up and are not corrected. Each new generation accrues about 60 new mutations to the gene-coding DNA regions of the human genome. Crabtree applied this rate to calculate that every 20 to 50 generations, we should sustain a mutation in one copy of one of our many ID genes. As a result, in the past 3,000 years then, 120 generations, each of us should have accumulated at the very least 2.5 to 6 mutations in ID genes. Accordingly, the human intellect perhaps reached a peak 2,000 to 3,000 years ago. This appears to confirm three lessons that can be drawn from the Bible. First, Adam and Eve's brains were originally very good. Second, we had our best brains about 6,000 years ago. Third, humanity has suffered genetic degradation since then under the curse. Both Crabtree and his detractors tried to extrapolate some set of numbers to make conclusions about the unobservable past. The rebuttal authors who resist the genetic decay principle handpicked numbers that support evolutionary history. Crabtree, instead, used numbers collected from real-world studies. All those studies present an ever clearer case for a human race that was very good at the start, but it's steadily falling apart, end of quotes. Compared to the Adam of Genesis, we are the brutish, grunting cavemen. Jesus Christ is the last Adam. Again, 1 Corinthians 15:45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. This virgin-born, only-begotten Son of God entered this world in a perfect, sinless state, and in many ways, like the Adam of Genesis, was downloaded with wisdom from his Father. Jesus Christ was genius upon genius. His 23 male chromosomes were not from a flawed and fallen earthly father, and his virgin mother was handpicked by God, Luke 1:28-30, and the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Jesus Christ had no sinful nature, nor did he have deleterious epigenetic tags or deadly mutations. God was communicating with his son from his mother's womb. Listen to Luke 2:40-52. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And when he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. The Jewish world was shaken by Christ's words. Mark 1:22, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Consider John 7:14-15. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? This Christ, the last Adam, revealed the marvelous mysteries of God kept secret from the beginning of the earth. He dumbfounded Israel's wisest of the day, preached that the kingdom of God was at hand, healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils, fed the poor, and willingly went to Calvary to be crucified in order to break the back of Satan's chokehold on man and to set free all who will call upon his name. Jesus Christ was perfect from the womb to the cross and now for all eternity. He is the embodiment of John 3:16, God's perfect sacrifice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Earlier in this speech, we spoke of the glorious marvels of salvation that begins at the place Jesus calls born again, John 3:3. Surely this new birth is like master, like servant. The similarities are beautiful and rightfully so, for we are the body of Christ. Consider the following. Genius begins at born again. Now I make the right decisions, the godly decisions, and I make them for the first time. My IQ begins to soar, because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Psalms 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever. God's word washes away bad epigenetic tags and rewrites them. Many harmful mutations are being reversed. My mind is literally being renewed, Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The born again get daily downloads from God's Holy Ghost. We are constantly being taught, John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Through meditation in God's holy word, the inner savant is being released. Implicit pattern learning, which only belongs to those who believe in God, is now ours. We begin to see the whole picture and not just its parts. Like the master, so the servant. The born again are being downloaded by God on a very minute-by-minute basis. For any who would think the downloading first of Christ and then the redeemed is a bridge too far, consider Colossians 2:9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. As the body of Jesus Christ, the born again participate in his magnificence. Born again, wow, what a wonder. God said, 1 Corinthians 15:45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. God said, 1 Peter 1:18 through 20. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. God said, John 7:14 and 15, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Man said, I'm the captain of my ship. Who needs God and his old Bible? Wait a second. What did you say, doctor? I have 2 weeks to live. Oh, God, save me, save me. Now you have the record.